This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Tuesday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I am Emily Thompson from Wellington, Florida. And you are listening to a special jumping edition of Horses in the Morning on Horse Radio Network for December 2nd, episode 1053. This episode is brought to you by S Equestrian. Good morning, Horse World.
And now, coming to you from Santa's Southern Command Center in Wellington, Florida, the one who trains Santa's reindeer to fly, the amazing Emily.
Ready, Rudolph?
Ready, Santa.
Okay, Rudolph, full power.
Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning, Emily. Did you like your Christmas opener?
Good morning. I liked it. I liked it. It was festive. It makes me feel like really official. Like, that's right. I do have an important job. Teach those reindeer to fly. I like that.
Right.
It's important.
Teach
every little kid
jump.
In America knows that. It buck stops here in Wellington, Florida.
That's right. And they must keep the reindeer hidden because I've never seen them down there at the Southern Command Center.
Yes,
it's the
yes,
special
we do.
Place like out in the Everglades there in the swamp. They
yeah, you know, like
there.
One of those hockey rinks. You got to keep them on ice.
That's right. That's right. And who knew that you were the official trainer for Santa's reindeer?
Well, now you've blown it up. Now everybody knows. It's me,
people.
Does
that pay well, by the way, or is that volunteer
it does,
job?
But you know, don't want to talk about that. It's you know, money. Who wants to talk about that? It's about the reindeer. That's what we want to talk about.
It's about the love that those reindeer spread on Christmas Eve.
It's true. Every little munchkin knows that.
Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us. Of course, this is a jumping episode, and Emily is on with us the first Tuesday of every month. Jeez, it's going on a year now, isn't it?
Oh, I know. I know. It really, yeah, I was looking back at some of my other show notes and stuff. Yeah, we're doing it. We're on a roll.
Terrific. And of course, now we're going to talk a little bit about Wellington because you're back there at the Southern Command Center. And we're going to talk about that and how Wellington plays into the jumper show season here. But first, Jennifer, are you going to tell us what's coming up on today's show?
Coming up on today's S Equestrian Jumper episode, Galloping Through the Start Flags, Jennifer Blumenthal has the barnmanager.com news report. And will the dates for the much-anticipated first-ever Reindeer Power and Speed Class be announced? Stay tuned to find out. Coming off the switchback turn, John Manning has some career advice for future course designers. And the Equestrian Corner's Luann Smith has a new product review for our mid-show shopping therapy. And after that, Olympian Nona Garson stops by to chat about how she is helping Grand Prix Show Jumping go boutique. And then Denise Wilson has a training tip, and we'll get to know the Tack and Rider owner, Peter Romani. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Geez, you packed a lot into this show there, Emily. You know,
that's my style.
Yeah, I got a lot to do here today.
Yeah.
Well, you are back in Wellington, but I think your horses are not, or what's the story?
No, they are. We all kind of arrived at the same time. So we've been here about, I guess, like a week and a half. So happy to be back. Oh, my gosh. It gets cold up there, you know, and I've got the one four-year-old. We do not do well in the cold. We are, like, doing cartwheels and everything. I couldn't wait to get down here. I was like, and granted, not that he was that much quieter when we got down here. We were still doing cartwheels, but at least it was warmer. He let me body clip him. So we're going. We're getting it done. I've got the dentist coming out Wednesday to get the boys ready. I just got the two horses right now, which is, like, bizarre, you know, just such a small number, my mom's and mine. But, yeah, we're going to get to it. I'm hoping maybe we get a little showing done in the next 2 weeks.
Well, you know what? If you can get a video of you on the four-year-old doing cartwheels, that'll go viral.
That'd be pretty awesome.
Very well with that.
Oh, my God. It really is. For anybody out there that has seen the cartwheels live with me on his back, it is. My mother probably would not like it, but it should be like some sort of YouTube video. He's unbelievably talented.
Now, but can he jump? I mean, that is the question.
Oh,
right?
Boy. He really can, and that's the thing. It's like his mother was wild. She was crazy, but I met her when she was like 8 or 9, and she was already doing it. So you start stacking up all those great experiences, and you're like, yeah, it takes me 4 tries to get on her at the mounting block, but she wins every class she goes in, and she jumps the open water. You know, you like weigh it out on the scales. But he's 4, so I'm like, okay. We're not
if I only
good
break
at mounting.
A bone every 6 months, who cares? You know?
It is. I'm just like, I just can't wait until we're like a year down the road. And I'm like, yeah, but he jumps the open water. He goes in the room. You know, I need to stack up some of those like show horse qualities. Because right now, yeah, I mean, we do a lot of cartwheels.
Now, do you do all the showing or does your husband show as well?
He does show. Both of us show. We previously, before the clothing line really took off, we had a hunter jumper business. So we would kind of split the rides. We're two totally different sizes and different type riders. So we would just kind of divvy up the list. We did a lot of sales horses and investment horses, things like that. So a lot of riding, not as many customers, although we did have some. So he, like right now, he has his mare he's showing that he, I think it was like last episode or something, we were reporting that he won the Grand Prix in North Carolina, which was awesome.
Yeah.
And she is super fast. She's the winner, but she's going to probably do some of the national standard Grand Prix, not like the huge like 160 classes that are down here in Wellington. So she's kind of coasting around a little bit. She's in Texas, and then he's going to take the mare maybe to Arizona, maybe to Gulfport. I'm not sure, which is kind of nice for the clothing line because then we set up wherever he goes and we travel back and forth. But yeah, we're both showing, and then I'll get the, I guess, I'm hoping, I don't want to be overambitious. I would like to make the five-year-olds this season. Fewer cartwheels, more jumping. That's what we're going for. So then we'll both be showing.
Well, cool. Very good. I know you had a little break there when you were getting the business started, when you were getting S Equestrian off the ground. And it must feel good to get to have that off the ground now and rocking and rolling and be able to get back in the saddle again for a little bit.
It really is. I love riding. I mean, that's firstly my passion. I love it. I'd love to ride top sport one day. I love the babies. I mean, I love just riding around in circles, trail riding, whatever. So, yeah, it's awesome. Got two rides.
And apparently but... gymnastics. Have you ever considered vaulting? Because
I know. I think Flash could do the vaulting. I don't know if he would be a good vaulting horse, but he might be a good vaulter.
Yeah, you'd be a good vaulter. You're tiny. You'd be a flyer. You'd be the one they throw around up there.
So you know? Funny. It's, yeah, that is impressive. If you watch that, when I went to Germany to school, you know, one of the classes is vaulting. I mean, they take it very seriously. It's FEI. And it is unbelievable. It, not only are the horses unbelievable, they're like, you know, huge, like draft types, you know, strapped into the side reins, but those riders, I mean, wow, it's unbelievable. I have a respect for it.
Yeah, I did too. At the WEG in 2010, I watched a lot of the vaulting, and I have a new respect for it too. I mean, they're just crazy, pretty much.
And they melt from the ground like that, and the distance, I mean, all of that. It's like, wow.
I know.
If we could all learn that, there would be no more accidents, you know?
That's right.
We could all just do a backflip and land on our
feet. You know how to fall.
Yeah, right. It should be required. You start vaulting.
Well, now tell us a little bit about, or do you want to wait till we get Jennifer on to talk? Well, Jennifer's here, so let's bring her on, and then we'll get into the Wellington conversation too.
Awesome. So, yeah, we got Jennifer Blumenthal from barnmanager.com. She calls in with our news update here in Wellington, I think, right? Jennifer, are you there?
Hi, guys. I'm here.
Yay. Welcome back.
Thank you. Happy Tuesday.
Oh, my gosh, I know. Starting the week. Where are you? Are you in Wellington or New York still?
I am in Wellington. I just got here. You know, I'm here for December through April. I'm really excited.
Super. New York. Yeah, it's
Jennifer,
really
you're
up
breaking
there.
Up on us a bit here. So let's see. Are you driving or?
No, I'm actually sitting. Can you hear me now?
All right. We'll see if it hangs in there or not. I wanted to ask you guys, and I know, Emily, you said you did a little research on this. How did Wellington become the place to go for horses in general and jumpers?
So, yeah, I did. I'll jump in here. I did look into that a little bit. It was interesting because kind of knowing the lay of the land down here, this all was in keeping with kind of how it is now. The original founders of Wellington, well, Wellington itself was founded in like 1950, which is not really all that long ago. It was swampland, as you can see from Google Earth. And then it was built up. You've got the canals and everything, you know, so they could build up the rest of the land. And then Wellington happened. And I believe it was like 1979 or something, 1980. They had their first official polo match down here. So the polo, that was the first community that came down here and really founded. They've since had their Polo Association World Cup down here. I mean, tons of teams. Like when you come down here, you're like, oh, that does make sense, because it's just like barn after polo field after polo field. I mean, those huge monstrosities where they've got like 5 and 6 fields, you know, like, you know, training their own teams at home. I mean, it's wild. So anyway, they came down, and, you know, I think once the polo is huge. I mean, you talk about a team and how many ponies and then a barn and all of this. So I think with them coming down immediately, then you had the infrastructure for horse sport. You had feed stores, you had tack stores, you know, all of these sort of agricultural things are cropping up. And then the show jumpers came shortly after. So then you're talking like mid-80s or so. Wellington, as it is in that location, much smaller footprint, but same location, started with just a few modest rings. And gosh, I mean, like a couple hundred horses, like nothing like it has grown to be in somewhat the same footprint, which is outrageous. But it did sort of, you know, start slow as a little, you know, a couple hundred horses like that over the first couple years, more of a club experience. And then it exploded. And honestly, it's all due to the weather, like just having driven down here so many years, like they're literally, I don't know what the technical scientific name for it, but always about an hour and a half north of Wellington is like when the temperature changes, all of a sudden it starts
to get warmer.
That's right. And
actually, that is true. It's around Orlando that you have the cutoff. And we are always, you know, we tend to be about here in Ocala, which is about an hour and a half north of Orlando and about, what, 3-4 hours north of you. We tend to be about 10 degrees cooler all the time, you know, in the summer and the winter.
Totally. It's really interesting. And which is also a great place for horses up there. You know, you guys have your own community, but for sure, then this far south, you get a lot of people that are just, you know, the weather is a factor. I mean, I guess with the polo ponies too, you can't really have a freeze at all with those guys running out on the grass. You know, we have footing. But,
well, you know, too,
but anyway.
The other thing that's an appeal for down there over up here in Ocala is that you got the beach. You got the beach within 10 minutes drive, you know, you're
it's
right
so
there
true.
At beautiful beaches, you know, so you've got
that's
that
true.
Down there too. We were looking at, Emily and I were chatting yesterday, and we were on Google Maps together. So was all of that is now all of these really beautiful horse farms down there, was all that just open land or what
at
the time?
Yeah, because I came, you know, I like I told you, I kind of grew up down here. I've always, since I had my first children's jumper, I think I was like 13 or something, I've always split the year. And so I sort of saw it evolve. It was not quite so small when I was a kid, but it was definitely smaller. I mean, we had probably a third of the rings that we have now and maybe a third of the horses even. But yeah, totally. It was, I mean, the horses came first and the rest of it has just sort of built around it. It was, it's pretty remarkable to watch and it continues. I mean, it's, they think something like 15,000 people come to this area for circuit.
Amazing. Well, Jennifer, now, when did you start heading to Wellington?
I'm a newbie. I've only been coming down about 4 years now.
Okay. All right. Cool.
But I love it so much.
It's grown, though, even, right, in 4 years.
Oh, my God.
There's been explosions. That's turnover of hands, turnover of management.
The management, the farms, the sponsors, everything's changed. It just keeps growing. I'm amazed at the traffic down here sometimes. I'm like, where do these people come from?
Oh, I know. And, you know, it just gets longer and longer because, like, last week we had, I mean, already in November, we had a World Cup qualifier down here. Those horses need to be down here, schooled, rested, ready to go. I mean, there were like 50-something in the class.
There's actually the Village Patriot, one of the local newspapers down here, the title article on the front page is about what would Wellington be without equestrians, and it's a, like a laundry list of basically all the things that the equestrian community, the social economic impact brings down to this little town in Florida, if you really think about it. Like, they list there'd be no, we would only have one hospital instead of two. The schools wouldn't be as good. There'd be no Whole Foods, Trader Joe's. There wouldn't be as great restaurants, as shopping.
Did they mention that that Florida would lose a half its alcohol sales? Did they mention that if you guys weren't down?
It's true.
Yeah, with all the different nationalities here, we've got it covered. We really do, and the Irish really dominate with that.
And the polo, the Argentinians, they're right behind.
Oh,
we got,
yes,
those polo players. We got some drinkers.
We don't just have the show jumpers. We have the polo community. We have the dressage community. I mean, and there's also therapeutic riding centers. I mean, I don't think they're going out and drinking, but you know what I'm saying. There are so many different types of equestrians just coming down.
Yep.
You know, also trail riders. There's this one guy, I've seen him for 4 years straight, with a white horse and a black horse, and he's leading one horse, and he just, you know, trail rides all around the community. He's a full-time resident, and he just enjoys his horses.
Yeah, it is. And like, you know, back to sort of the infrastructure of the community now, nobody's going anywhere. You know, now it's exploded. Okay, there's a lot of horses here. They're going to need to make some adjustments so that we can house so many horses and so many disciplines. But the reality is nobody's going anywhere. I mean, we've got all the feed stores, all the tack stores, the weather. It's here for all of different disciplines. I hear the reiners are coming.
You know, the hard part is there's not a lot more land left. I mean, when you go to the west of where you're located and where those showgrounds is there, you're basically in the swamp. I mean, you basically have the Everglades.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you head to the west, to the east, it's pretty built up, and then you got the ocean. The one amazing thing that always blows my mind about Wellington is you drive into Wellington, it's absolutely beautiful. Palm Beach is absolutely beautiful. But when you go to the north or south of either Palm Beach or Wellington, you get slummy real quick. I mean, it's unbelievable the difference just a couple blocks makes.
Well, what you're seeing is a lot of the older homes, you know, the ones that are 70s, 80s, even 90s, are getting bought, torn down, rebuilt. And it's just like it's just like New York City. You have the core, and then people spread farther out. It's urban sprawl, and that's what we're going to see. We're going to see I was just in the polo club visiting someone, and I saw, you know, all the houses are pretty much consistent in their architectural design, and boop, there's this really modern, contemporary home that just popped up. That's what you're going to see. You're going to see people's personalities coming out. Yes, 100%.
It always fascinates me when I see some, like, huge barn, like, 1 year, and then I come by, and then there's, like, another one. Like, they're, like, building a foundation. I'm like, oh, yeah, that was definitely a teardown.
This year is unreal.
Like,
there are so many new farms. So many new farms that have gone up since last year, and they're being built right now. They haven't even finished construction. They won't even be ready for the season. They'll be ready for next season.
There's land, you know, spilling out into Loxahatchee, so that's sort of the word on the street. If you're, it's different codes, you know, you can have campers in Wellington, you can't have campers as of like 2 years ago, which was like, oh my gosh, you know, game changer for a lot of people. So there is land out there in Loxahatchee, and people can buy acreage, which is nice because you don't really get that in Wellington. It's all sandwiched, but I mean, it's just, it's not going anywhere. It'll continue to grow. You know, we had our show jumping selection trials down here. We're having World Cup qualifiers. We have FEI dates. It's interesting because you get both ends of the spectrum. You know, you do get that sort of upper top sport tier where, you know, no expense, they want to get in there and just build a castle for their horses and show and have the best trainers and all of this. So you have that side of the table, but then you also have people who, young horses, breeding horses coming down, and they know that this is where the top riders and horses are, and they need proximity because they want to keep growing and getting better. So you have, you know, a few different crowds, but we are all here. That's apparent.
It's funny because I was just talking with a friend of mine last night about this, and she was asking me if I had gone to the Legendary Players Club on Sunday. And I said, no, I stayed home. You know, I didn't want to go out. And she's saying, oh, everybody just gets so crazy when they come down here. And I go, you know, I don't really see why. I mean, I don't get the everybody seems to get so excited. And really the reason why people get so excited is because all of a sudden everyone's together. Like, if you really think about it, the rest of the year we're all spread out. We're all over the country. Maybe your farm is in the middle of nowhere. You know, you don't get to see all your friends. And then all of a sudden you're in one place in great weather. Of course you're going to get excited. And we agreed on that. That's why everyone gets excited to come to Florida, because all of a sudden we're all one place together doing the same thing that we love all day long.
You're right. No, you're right. I never even thought about it that way, because, like, even like the other, I was watching that World Cup qualifier the other night, which was awesome. Laura Kraut won on Cedric, which, you know, that horse is about to be 17 years old, and it's been brought back like two or three times from injuries. So kudos to her. That's very fun to see someone stick it out, you know, with a partner like that and reap the reward. But yeah, we were there watching, and I was like, all right, you know, I was there with like my mom and a couple of girls from the barn. I was like, all right, I'm going to run to the restroom. I'll be back. And, I mean, I passed like four people that I knew get talking, you know, derailed, and like, they're people that, you're right, I hadn't seen since the summer or wherever. It's, yeah, it is. It's a reunion.
Now, wait a minute. Is the Players Club the one, Emily, when you first started, regular listeners will remember this. Last winter, you used to give us, every month you give us a report on the Players Club. Is that the one?
Yes, it's the one.
How many
one.
Cars
I,
were left on Monday morning? And, you know,
true.
Which means they didn't go home to their home.
It's
yeah.
true.
So you're
or they got a ride.
Report now, starting next month?
I think we must have to. I did drive by, was it yesterday afternoon? And I was like, okay, we're not really geared up. There was like two or three cars, and hey, they could have worked there. So we don't have one. I'm going to say we don't have a report for this month, but absolutely,
okay.
We will start.
I'm
and they, you know, they
that.
Changed the name, which is like so crazy. You know, like I've been here, you know, since almost the beginning here, and it's always been the Players Club. The Players Club, the Polo Players Club. It's like part of the Polo Club. So you know, the Polo people were here first, and all of this. So it's has a name that is, it's in the community. Like it's not going anywhere. So they've changed the name to the Coach House, which to me is like. I mean, like, that's fine that you put a sign up there, but nobody's calling it the Coach House.
You know what? That doesn't sound as debaucherous, if that's a word, as the Players Club.
Misrepresentation.
You know? Exactly. Exactly. You know, there would be no cars left if it was just the Coach House in the morning.
Right?
You know,
who knows? They might close their doors at 9 if it was the Coach House.
Well, you know, I think down here in Wellington, I think the week really starts on Sunday night, because everybody goes out Sunday night, then they talk about what happened Sunday night, Monday morning, and then you're still talking about it Tuesday while you're riding around, prepping the horses, getting them out, getting their legs stretched, and then you're still talking about it through the week, and then you start to get on Sunday. It's like the sequence is different. You know, horse people have Mondays off, but really their week starts on Sunday night because they can talk about what happened Sunday night, and then they ride off that for the whole week until it starts again.
So people like us who don't go out on Sunday night just need to check out and check back in with everybody on Wednesday when it gets back to the real stuff.
But even if you aren't into what has been created, this party scene in Wellington, there's so many other things to do. Like, there's so many good restaurants. I really enjoy on Thursdays, they have Food Truck Thursdays, where one of the local parks, all these food trucks come in from all over Florida, and you see horse people and non-horse people like Wellingtonians all coming out, hanging out in this park, kids running around, and then you have movie theaters, you have shopping, I actually just went to a workout class at 7 o'clock this morning. There are so, people down here are so fit, and I think it's funny because all the equestrians come down here, not only are they working harder than ever because, you know, this is the top level of the sport, but they're also taking care of their bodies while they're down here because it's such a condensed community that you're able to utilize all the offerings that it has. I mean, Wellington has really grown up around the horse community, and now it's offering so much more to the horse community.
Yeah, it's true. It's a great destination. No, we love it. So we're here. We'll keep you guys posted as it develops. I think real circuit starts here in, you know, a month or so, but showing starts. But Jen, before we lose you, tell us what's new with barnmanager.com.
What's new with barnmanager.com? Well, we are really excited to start circuit because we've been really, really busy this fall. We made several trips to Texas with some reigning barns, actually to the McQuays and the McCutcheons. They were part of the WEG team, and they're helping us build our breeding element. So we are offering now a whole new package just for breeding. So if you don't do breeding, you don't need it. But if you start doing breeding, all the embryos, semen, everything, we got you covered. And we're adding a new billing package, too, where you can start generating a little bit more customized invoices and track money in, money out. We're really excited about launching all our new features. It should be coming out this month.
Yay, very cool. You guys check it out, barnmanager.com, and we will get Jennifer Blumenthal back with us next month. Talk to you soon, Jen. Thanks.
Bye.
Thanks, Jennifer.
Cool. They're shaking and moving on barnmanager.com, huh?
Yeah. And it's good of her to just stop. We didn't get to any jumping news because we were just talking about Wellington. But
Laura Kraut. Laura Kraut won the World Cup qualifier in Cedric.
And, you know, it is kind of, it's a little bit, you know, slow for the next month. It'll be slowing down. People do, a lot of people do take the month off. So,
yeah, we'll you get most of that, which to me is always like, wow, these top riders, I mean, they came right out of indoors and then launched into a World Cup qualifier. I mean, it's almost like there is no off season anymore. No rest.
Right. That is
true.
You have
to make it, you know, schedule it in.
Speaking of no rest, why don't you introduce our next guest?
Okay, so we have John Manning, one of my faves. You guys probably remember him from last episode. He gave us our training tip. He is a course designer and trainer. He is back with some info on how to be a course designer. Are you there, John Manning?
Yes, I am.
Yay! Hey, welcome back. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
This is fun. Where are you? Are you up in the Northeast still or California or where are you at?
I am in the Northeast, soon to head to California.
Okay. There you go. Is it cold up there?
I'm going to go to the convention, which maybe some of your listeners would think about doing, just because I think it's important that we go and give the association feedback on, you know, the sport and how we think it's being handled or guided.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. People need to vocalize. Now, when is that?
It's the first week in December, so it's next Sunday through Thursday.
Okay, so you'll fly out for that?
Yeah, I'll fly out for that and then back again starting mid-January. That's an eight-week stint at the HITS Thermal Circuit.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's cool. I've heard really great things. They had that that fall circuit as well, right? The Sunshine.
Right. That was the first year for that, and I think it was a big success.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I heard. The numbers were big. So that's great. Yeah, I've never been out there. Do you like it?
I do a lot. I like it's a little different feel. The people, I think, are a little less intense. I do like it quite a bit.
Good. Good. So are you going to go out there and course design, build, or judge, or
yes, course designer.
Super.
All 8 weeks. You know, there are enough rings out there. There are 11 rings, so you can rotate around so nobody sees you too many times.
That's so cool. That's so cool. So you have a lot of experience course designing, that I know. So share with us. Where do you want to start? And what are you going to share with us?
Well, you know, it could go for hours, but I'll try to be brief. The state of the art of course designing in the United States is weak for a lot of different reasons. But at the last convention I was at, Steve Stevens said that he thought there were four active U.S. course designers that could build a two-star or higher. And
oh boy.
There's a lot of reasons that's happened, but if you'll notice, most of the bigger shows that you go to, you'll see a foreign course designer.
Yes.
For whatever reason, what we did in this country was we had our own course designing program under the USEF, and unfortunately, it doesn't translate into an FEI license. Canada, on the other hand, has an FEI program. And so every course designer that enters into the course designing program starts out with an FEI license. Then they progress, and it's just a more natural way. So you have a lot of U.S. course designers with USEF licenses and no FEI licenses. So
they would have to take a whole other course.
Yeah.
Is that right?
And there aren't Right. There aren't many offered in this country, and so some people have had to travel to South America or Canada or different places, and it just isn't very fluid. But
wow.
So, you know, we have as many riders in this country as anywhere else, percentage-wise, and, you know, that's where you really want to start out, ideally with a riding background. You know, in my mind, when I was thinking about it, I thought, even if you've only jumped a 3-foot hunter course and a 3-6 jumper course, it would give you the background to get started. You'd have to, but to look down the road, if you decided to do it full time, you and have any kind of work ethic, and were decent at it, you could earn anywhere between $100,000 and $200,000 a year. There's that few of them that there would be plenty of work. But you'd have to be signing up for long hours. You're the first one on the grounds and the last one to leave the grounds usually, and the paperwork is considerable. But
yeah, you need to be passionate about it.
You do need to be passionate about it, and ideally, you have a background in horses that, you know, goes from riding, training, coaching. You know, familiar, then you have to familiarize yourself with the jump material and distances. But it's all pretty natural for all-around horsemen.
I got to ask you a quick question about that. I always wondered this. Do you get a lot of crap? I mean, it just seems like in every class there's somebody that's not happy with the course.
You know, I've been lucky. I don't know why, but I think the big thing is you have to be open and learn how to talk to exhibitors. I think most people's natural reaction is to be defensive.
Let's face it, it's your fault even if the horse isn't trained, right? I mean, it's your fault. Or easy to blame you, right?
Right, but that's the other side of the coin. There are course designers that you might come up with a reasonable observation and they get so defensive and that's their first reaction, you know, you need to go home and practice and learn how to ride. And that's not the right thing either. I think you have to be open to understanding observations from good horsemen and make adjustments and be reasonable in your reaction. Because you do, you know, if there are 400 exhibitors there, there are 400 judges. They are judging how you laid out that course, whether it was reasonable, unfair, proper for the level, all of those things. And so you have to be able to interact with them in some kind of positive way.
I do notice that a little bit as a exhibitor, competitor, whatever, going out there. You have sort of different types of course designers. You have the guys or girls that are out there and they're interactive, hello to the riders, and they're talking, and you're like that too. You've got a great way about you. You know, people want to talk to you and you're gracious and all of that. And I think that's, you know, I mean, you need to be a real person. You can't just come in and be like, this is my show and I built it this way and with an attitude, and then you get riders defensive and whatever like that.
Right. And everybody kind of develops their own style. You know, it's interesting to me how little attention is paid to course design and as far as the development of them, when in fact, besides the judge, and if you're in the jumpers, the judge doesn't really matter. But the course designer is everything, and he's gonna either make it a pleasant experience where you learned or your horse improved, or, you know, a destructive experience where, you know, you maybe he builds a combination that's pretty unreasonable, and you have a young horse that you're trying to move up, and all of a sudden he stops, and you have to go home and rebuild his confidence for a month. You know, there's a lot of damage that can be done there. So it
now,
is
John,
important. But
if you're having a bad day, the riders suffer. I'm just thinking you have a bad morning. Is that bad for the course that day?
You build a mean triple combination.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
You know,
I want to see these people crash and burn.
You know,
I really
would never take it out on the horses. Sometimes you might like to take it out on the exhibitor, but the horse is going to be the one to suffer.
The truth.
I do remember,
we all thought
recall
that, John.
a rider walking a course one time and saying to a friend, he said, you know, this course designer didn't like horses when he rode them, and he doesn't like horses now when he builds courses. You know,
that's
the biggest
bad.
Compliment anybody ever paid me was a trainer came up to me at the end of the week and she said, you know, I had three riders move up a division at this show because I knew you were course designing and it would be a good place for them to move up.
Oh,
so,
that's so nice.
You know, you have to find some kind of balance. You don't want to make it so simple that it becomes a road race for everybody. And that's where you learn the different tools you have, you know, between the time allowed, the materials you use, the track, you know, and there's a lot that goes into it. But to me, there's a logical way you can kind of get started. And we need to get more young people and riders, you know, high performance riders in particular. They don't go to the conventions. They don't want to spend time course designing because it takes time. And we end up with sometimes, unfortunately, jump crew who have a little bit of ambition and they decide there's a vacuum there and they fill it. And you don't always end up with the most knowledgeable horseman in that course designing slot. So, anyhow.
That's interesting. So there really is a need. I mean, we need, and sort of like what you're saying, John, is people just get started, you know, as you're growing as a rider as well. Like, tell us, how would people maybe take their first step if they're interested? Maybe they're, you know, an amateur, they're just aged out or something. They've been showing, you know, low juniors even or whatever. You know, they're not jumping top sport, but they're still growing. And how would they get started?
Well, the way I would do it is, there's a few things you can do. One is get into the USEF licensing program, and they offer clinics, and those are pretty good. The clinicians are usually very good. Jack Robeson does some, Anthony D'Ambrosio does some, Steve Stevens does some. Those are all pretty top-notch guys. The other thing is, you know, if you're really starting out at the bottom, you know, try to get maybe volunteer to do a gym crew job. Gym crew do know a lot of the tricks of the trade, and I learned a lot of time-saving techniques from gym crew who pay attention. The other thing is you're going to have to align yourself. The way I would do it is align yourself with some association or barn that runs a bunch of one-day shows, and you're going to have to jump into it and do it, and you're going to have to do the paperwork and start with hunter courses. And learn what a good hunter course is. Learn the basics of, you know, for me, you try to have a single jump going home at the beginning of the course. You know, learn the footages, which sound complicated, but if you can remember, a 3 foot, a four stride line is 60 feet. That's a 12 foot stride. Everything can vary off of that, and you start to become familiar with it. You buy 100 foot tape, you learn how to cross tape. It's a way you can line up two jumps geometrically very simply. It takes about 2 minutes, and you are sure that they are square to each other, each side, and
in
line.
That's
important.
It is important
because you really can't do it by your eye. You'd like to think you can, and you can get it close, but
you'll learn the hard way. Come through a nice gymnastic,
Put
an extra foot in.
You know, and you have to talk to trainers and riders. You know, I have been lucky that I have a lot of good friends that are good trainers, and I talk to them and I ask them questions. And, you know, and then what you would find is you'd go from hunters, then there are going to be some equitation courses in there. They're going to be a little bit jumper-like, and you're going to start to familiarize yourself with those tracks, what's a reasonable turn. And that's where the riding background is going to help you. You know, and then once you progress, you're going to do handy hunter courses. You're going to maybe get a chance to do a hunter derby. You're going to learn a little bit about decorating. Apprenticing with good course designers is key. You know, someone like myself, most course designers that I ran into were happy to help me and tell me what they knew and give me advice. And if you're, you know, into it, you're going to ask intelligent questions and they're going to help. You need to learn how to decorate the jumps. That's a big part of it. There are guys that are out there who really have minimal knowledge, are great decorators, and as long as they don't do something stupid, they look like heroes because their jumps are so well decorated. Once you get into the jumpers, it gets a little more complicated. But again, you're just trying to have reasonable tracks that, you know, you've got the time allowed, you've got the distance in the course, you have the combinations and numbers of jumps. You know, you want to ask a horse to bend left, bend right, lengthen, shorten, and then you have the construction. And what you find, this was interesting, that in China, Leopoldo Palacidos and Steve Stevens did the course. And the technical delegate, who has a lot to say about those courses, wanted to make the jumps higher. And Leopoldo was pretty adamant that he wasn't going to do that. And by the track and the construction, he was able to come up with the results he wanted. And somebody said they did a study, and they said that something like 90% of the horses that competed in those Olympics in China were back showing again 30 days later, which was a tremendous statistic and compliment to what he did. So those are the kind of guys we need to learn from, because what they're doing is they're finding out how to have a good competition without being too destructive to the horses.
Just killing the horses. Yeah, totally.
Right. Historically,
yeah, no, that's,
you know, that's
awesome.
Been a problem.
Absolutely. So, well, and I read articles, too, about, you know, the footing and all of that. Everything's getting so good that then, you know, everyone's looking to the course designer to thin out the crowd. And sometimes it's through height and not such, you know, horse-friendly elements and lines. We don't want to ruin them. You know, we want them to keep jumping and get on to next competitions, thin out the crowd, let the best horse and rider win. But let's not kill half the class in the process.
Right.
But,
and that brings up another good point.
Yeah.
Which is, there are a lot of classes you design where 80% of the horses should be clear. You know, just because it's a competition doesn't mean at a meter 10, only 10 or 20% of the horses are clear. You can't do that, you know. And you have to understand those principles that a high school and jumper class come up with six
it
clear rounds out of 50 horses, you know.
Yeah. No, for sure. And that's like to your point where you need horsemen, so, or riders,
right.
You know, people who are riding who can understand. So those of you out there listening, for sure, if you get an opportunity to check the prize list, ride John Manning's courses. They're awesome. I've ridden them for years. Definitely out in California. You're going to be there all winter. And, hey, check out those clinics. That's the first place to start, right? When people want to get started,
right. Go
to a clinic, start getting educated. But there is a void. We need more course designers, more riding course designers. So check it out. Fill that void. I love it. Well, thanks, John, so much for coming on and sharing all this with us. Hopefully we get to see you soon, and we'll get you on a later episode about something else, no doubt. You've got so much info. I love it. We really could go on for, like, hours.
Yeah, and I know
I
you like
it.
Wellington, but consider coming out to the desert sometime. The weather's great.
I know. I really will. I'm definitely going to come out for the clothing line, even for a weekend or something. I'll give you a ring. We'll grab dinner.
Okay, good. Good.
Cool, cool.
Thanks,
all right, thanks, John. Safe travels. We'll
all
talk
right,
to you soon.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
Cool. Well, we had a chance, as we do every month, to catch up with our friend, Louie-Ann Smith, who is from the Equestrian Quarter. And she had, we caught up with her yesterday because guess what? It's kind of a busy time right now for retailers in the horse world. And
oh,
we actually caught her on Cyber Monday. So let's hear what she had to talk about. It's a product that I love and is very popular right now. And Emily doesn't have one. So if your husband's listening, this is a good
hey,
one right
Luann,
here.
Hey, Luann, welcome back. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Emily, how are you today?
I'm good. You've been working hard since last episode, testing out a product for us.
We have.
Tell us what you got.
Okay, I have the Tough Rider Children's Lexington Waterproof Tall Boot, which is a really nice boot. It also comes in the ladies. We have them on the equestriancorner.com's website for $98.85, which is a great price. These boots are great because they are waterproof. They're great for, running around, in the barn, and also, going, if you're just out running around town. They're stylish. They're very, very cute boot. I have a couple of pair, actually. So.
And these are the ones that look like the Dewberries that everybody's familiar with, the tall brown ones.
Yes.
And you go to Rolex and you're going to see 3/4 of the population there, either in the Dewberries or these, the Tough Riders.
Right.
And because they're waterproof, and, like the eventers love them, because if they're in mud or they're walking around the cross country course and it's muddy or there's water up to your ankles, your feet aren't going to get wet.
Right. I've actually, I put together a show jumping show last year, and it was, unfortunately, the ring was horrible, and of course, I've covered in mud, and I just walked over to the hose and sprayed them off, and they were good as new, and my feet never got wet from hosing them down, which was nice.
That's crazy. I don't have a pair of these boots. I know so many people.
Well,
have
you're the only one. What's wrong with you, Emily?
I am.
You need to get a pair.
Yeah. New product pick is apparently for me, because I'm the only person that maybe doesn't have them. And I do actually fit in kid sizes, which is awesome. So maybe these are for me.
Perfect.
This is a good
price,
too.
So we'll go to theequestriancorner.com and get yourself a pair, Emily.
I'm going to. So you got me on the water thing, because that is, that's a problem. For sure, you go out walking course or, in a lunging paddock or something like that, that wet footing sand, you might as well just be, standing in water.
Well, the other thing,
absolutely,
too, is traction. You wear your tall leather boots in a situation like that, you're going to fall on your butt.
Absolutely.
These have huge traction on them, so they're made for walking in mud and for standing in water. That's what they're made for. And, you can get the Dewberry ones if you want to for $400, or you can get these for $98.85. And for
perfect,
a kid that's going to outgrow them in about 3 months, you want to go the $98.85 route.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they're nice. They're stylish, though. They're really, they look well made.
They are. I have a pair for the barn, and I have a pair just to go, when we go out or, to the grocery store, whatever. I wear them a lot, and I get so many compliments. People are always asking me, where did you get them? They're very nice. I like them a lot.
Wow. How is the footbed? I have a high arch.
They're really comfortable. I do too, actually. And they're very comfortable. They're like my go-to boot. They're the ones that I put on all the time. You know what I mean? It's just much more comfortable than some of my other very expensive paddock boots. They're just, I would much prefer putting them on. And I have ridden in them before. If I'm down in the ring or whatever and I need to jump on a horse when I'm teaching, they fit in the stirrup. They're not too bulky, but I don't know. I don't know if I would, I were just going out to ride, if I would put them on. But
not your first selection, but it works.
Right.
You know what, too?
But it works. It does work.
Let's talk cool factor, because this is a kid's gift and it has to be cool. And the one cool thing about these boots, and because they're tall, and this is the Tough Rider version of them, the one cool thing about these boots is any kid that gets them, it doesn't matter whether they're eventers or show jumpers or, hunters, it doesn't matter. These boots are universally cool. They're approved in
all. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, don't you think?
Yeah, that's
absolutely
so true. They really are.
Very few things cross over. This crosses over. Yeah.
And in fashion, you see the same style just in main fashion brands, with the same sort of, legs. So, no, it is. It's everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
And we don't get that too often.
No, we don't.
Definitely a popular item. I was just at the State Horse Show in October, and it was pretty much everywhere you looked, people had a pair of these on, kids, adults, it didn't matter. And they do come in the adult size, which is great.
And we're expecting a horrible winter this year, so you can find those. Get them now at theequestriancorner.com. You can get the kids version for $98.85, which is a really good price. I was comparison shopping. That's about as cheap as it gets. And then, or you can get the ladies version, the adult version, for $134.85. Right price for a gift, and it's a gift that they'll be very, very happy with.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
Well, we're going to let you get back to it. I know it's Black Friday, and I'm sure you're swamped. So, or not? Oh,
we are.
It's Cyber Monday.
Cyber Monday.
And yes, we're definitely busy. So.
Oh my gosh.
Well, we'll let
you check it out online.
All right.
EquestrianCorner.com.
Well, there you go. So there's a holiday gift idea for you. And if, for those people that don't have one, and I think that's probably about half the population do. But if you're in the other half like Emily, then you know what you can get them for Christmas this year. And Emily, so does your husband listen to the show? Will he be able to know now what to get you?
He does. Now he knows. Yes. I am the only girl in America. But seriously, I didn't know that they were waterproof like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's one
that's
of the big
awesome.
Deals about them. Yeah, that is one of the big deals about them. Now, you said in that interview that you wear a kid size. What size are your feet? What do you have, like a 2?
I know. Well, kid sizes these days, I think there are like some big kids out there. I'm not even the biggest kid size, but I wear like a size 4 or 4.5 kids.
Oh, wow.
I've got like a 6.5 foot. So like I also wear adult sizes, but like I'm short. So I like North Face, like I shop the kids section.
I don't know what it is about my co-hosts and all the different shows, but all my co-hosts are they're all
so
about
funny.
5'2",
so
5'3". Nobody, I think, ever gets above 5'5". Apparently you can't be a host on the show. Tammy's the only one I can think of that's taller than that.
That's funny. I don't know what that says.
Yes,
says something.
I don't know what that says either, but it's true. Helena and Jamie and you and Wendy. I mean, everybody's like 5'2", 5'3".
Oh my gosh! Yeah.
Maybe that just means all the all the great horse people that can't stop talking are short. Is that what that says?
Maybe so. I don't know how I feel about that though. We might want to come up with another classification. I don't know. We'll think about it.
That's funny.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, a quick programming note. You are listening to Horses in the Morning. I am here with the incredible Emily, who is, of course, doing the jumping episode for us the first Tuesday of every month. And if you missed the past episodes, you can go to horsesinthemorning.com and just search for Emily Thompson, and it'll bring up all of the past episodes, or just put in jumping, and it'll bring them up as well. And if you want to listen to all the past ones, you can do that all at one time. We will be back tomorrow morning live, at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. Jamie will be here, and, of course, it's the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge tomorrow. And we have a very special guest with us tomorrow to do that. So you'll have to tune in tomorrow morning for that. We are, of course, brought to you by S Equestrian. What is going on with the clothing line?
Oh, boy, keeping us busy. It's the holidays. So, we get all those internet orders, which is fun. I like to think of the little kitties opening their presents, getting their S Equestrian gear. But really, we're ramping up to the trade show. We've got the trade show in January. We've got a few new colors in the jacket, which is exciting. A few new variations on the shirt. So we're set up. We're gearing up, and we'll have it all the whole spread out there at ADA. And we're pretty good on our Facebook. If you check on the ECE Equestrian Facebook, then we upload the new styles, and we'll get the whole line there cataloged after ADA. I'm going to keep it a little bit under wraps, the colors and a couple of the new styles. You are just going to have to wait.
All right, very good. And we're going to talk a little bit about a different tour going on down there.
Yeah, so this is, Glenn, you'll love Nona. Nona is actually smaller than I am. She's an inspirational woman on a lot of different levels. She's an Olympic rider, has ridden top sport all her life on many different horses. She is a regular down here at Wellington. Her and her husband, George D'Ambrosio, have a few farms, actually, where they do a few different kinds of horse shows. But most recently, the addition of the Turf Tour down here in Wellington. So we are going to hear from Nona. Are you there, Nona?
I am. Hi, guys.
Yay! Welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Very fun. I know I've been sort of wanting to get you on the radio for a while because, you just have a bunch of different projects that are awesome. We could go on for hours, but we do not have that much time, so we'll keep it short. I did want to give a little quick shout-out. You guys check Nona out online. It's theridge.com. Is that correct?
And my Facebook page is The Ridge at Wellington.
Okay, so The Ridge at Wellington. Either one of those locations, you can see some of the other fun stuff known as.
Emily, I don't know what happened to your connection, but you're going to have to give us a call back. And Nona, in the meantime, we can talk a little bit about the Turf Tour. How long have you been putting on shows yourself? I know you're an Olympic rider and you've been in shows, but putting them on is a little different ball game.
Well, we've been putting shows on for quite a few years now. But here, the Ridge at Wellington Turf Tour, we started 3 years ago.
What makes it different?
Well, what we've done is we've kind of gone back to a little bit of more old-fashioned show jumping. We've brought horses back to the grass. And, we think we're filling a need here in Wellington that, although the other horse show is fantastic and amazing, I think, we're a nice complement to the show, and it gives people an alternative to show their horses on different grounds and in different environments.
Nice. I'm back. Sorry.
Okay, good. Good.
So that is, I have actually gone, was last year, Nona? Last year was the first year of the Turf Tour. Is that right?
No, actually, this is our third year. We started out, we've been growing it and trying and adding on to it every year and just trying to improve it and make it what everybody wants.
Well, it's so nice because the one thing that we all know we sacrifice here with all the horses at Wellington is that sort of, environment where you're really focused on your horse. You're trying to have the best ride, the best round for your horse, development. Even at, top sport, people are developing. So I love that about what you have to offer it's a quieter environment, but you still have all of the excitement of the horse show, all the jumps. I mean, it's an immaculate turnout. There's VIP tables. I mean, it's the turnout. It's all right there. But it just allows you to focus more on your horse, and I love that. I think that's sort of, would you say that was a little bit your thought with it when you started it?
Yeah, I've had the luxury and I've had the privilege to represent the United States and go to many, many beautiful shows in Europe. And I think we are more online with many of the shows that you would see over there. And also we think it's very important that everybody at the Ridge is a VIP. And, so we don't want to exclude people. We don't want to, make them sit in areas they don't want to be. We want them right up by the ring in a relaxed atmosphere. The other fun thing that we do that's different really than anywhere else is we have a show when you want program. The in gates open from 8 to 4:30, and you can make a time. So if your owners want to come see the horse and they have many other things to do while they're here in Wellington, that you will show at, 8 or 1:30 or 3, whatever time you schedule. So, that's something that's very unique to our tour.
That's never. You have to do dressage to do that, to get that sort of accuracy.
Yeah, and that's what we're going for. And we have people that come and just come when they can, but we also have people who schedule their times. And, it's really nice. It allows people when they're in Florida, freedom. They're not locked into the horse show for 4 hours, to try to figure out when their horse is going.
Yeah, which is so nice. And then you've got, you can focus on what your time frame is, how you're going to warm up your horse, what the course is, which you guys open the course the day before. Is that right?
We open the course the day before, and we'll take brief breaks for riders that are coming in. And, we try to accommodate our busy riders' schedules. If they need a minute to walk the course in the middle, we'll take a little break and let them sneak out and do some other course walks as well. But it's a very friendly, relaxed environment. All the riders are working together. That if they weren't there, we also have ShowNet with us. They video every round. If a rider wants to see the winning round, they can see it via ShowNet. And that's all.
Oh wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, all the rounds are online as they're happening on ShowNet as well.
Oh, how cool is that? That's so fun. Yeah, it's really growing. I mean, you've got to be excited. This is really growing.
Yeah, no, it's really exciting, and we've had the best riders in the world. We had you know, we've had Ben Mayer and McLean and, I mean, and Rodrigo Pessoa. I mean, all the top riders really, really enjoy what we're doing. And, you know, they keep cheering us on and, you know, giving us little things that they would like to see. This year we've extended our tour to be the full 12 weeks. Our first class starts on January 7th, and our last class goes on March 28th. So we have 12 full weeks of show jumping.
Wow. So those run, and that's the turf tour, those run each week of the main circuit, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. We move it around within minutes of the main showgrounds, but to give horses a little, you know, a little break, a little new scenery, you know, and we go from one beautiful venue to the next, and it's all within, you know, 5 minutes of the horse showgrounds. We also offer a horse shuttle, so for our horse and riders that need a ride on the horse shuttle, they just call and schedule, and they can get a ride to whatever venue we're showing at that day.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so I did hear about that. Just the other day, I forgot. So tell me, what a brilliant idea. When did you come up with this? Did you do it last year, too?
Last year was the first year we did it. And, you know, we realized, you know, I've been a rider my whole life. You know, I've been a competitive rider my whole life. And, you know, riders are you know, dealing with 10 or 15 horses a day or maybe more, you know. So we are trying to make it as easy and as comfortable and as friendly as possible for the people that are doing it.
I have this picture of a tractor pulling a wagon down the road and horses just jumping on. That's what I have this picture of, to head over to the showgrounds.
Seriously, which is like so contradictory to the, you know, sort of unflexible experience of showing in huge numbers at a huge venue like this. I mean, myself as somebody who normally ships in, I mean, it's hard to even time your class quite right, and then your horse is standing on the truck for like an hour and he's hot before he goes and does the biggest class of his life. It's like, okay, you know, this is, you know, extra variables here that you're not really used to training with. So to have somebody cater to the rider and the horse in the way that George and Nona are doing is extremely rare. And to have somebody who is a successful rider like herself, she knows what the riders need. So I mean, I think that's why it's so successful. You guys absolutely know the market and you're catering to it. I love it.
Yeah, no, and like I said, we are totally in touch with the riders all the time. When we're not running these shows, we're at the ring, so you know we're still competing ourselves. Maybe I don't have a Grand Prix horse right now, unfortunately, but I'm there.
I know
at the
I love
show.
Watching you show. Soon, we hope.
Yeah, well, we can hope, and maybe somebody, some nice person out there would like to get me one. But
yeah, hey, if you want to be an investor, you definitely want Nona on your horse's back. For sure.
On a note. And then what exciting things we've done this year is we've added classes for children's, adult, junior, amateur, and master's riders in our tour. We have 5 weeks where those riders will have a chance to have their, their ride on the Grand Prix field.
My mom saw your master's class. I want to tell you, you're giving me heart palpitations. She was like, sweetie. They've got the masters. I mean, she wants it so bad. I just want to keep her in the hunter ring like forever, you know. It just scares me to death. And she's just, and I'm like, okay, well, my one thing is my mother, she lives down here, but when it gets to be the full swing of circuit, she does not want to be in those schooling areas. It gets scary. There's too many horses. So I kind of thought, okay, well, that's what's going to keep us out of the big ring, you know, because she doesn't want to show during the circuit. But then, oh, my gosh, the Ridge, you've got a master's class. I think we're gearing up for it.
And the other fun thing we do is we also have those lovely schooling shows once a month, starting in December 13th and 14th, where for, you know, people that really want a nice low-key experience, you know, we have schooling shows that offer in Marshall and Sterling points and, you know, give those guys who really aren't ready to invest, you know, in all the money and all of that a place to start here in Wellington.
Which is awesome. It's so unique. So you guys check them out, because there's not only the turf tour, which is for a lot of our top horses in the various divisions, but there's schooling shows and equitation point shows and hunter shows, and Nona's got some breeding horses, some babies on the ground. So check them out, theridge.com. And hey, if you're in Wellington, come to the farm.
What now?
I'm sorry. It's actually theridgefarm.com. I think you probably would get it the other way.
Farm.
The Ridge Farm.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, and we got then there's a couple different locations so you can see the different farms, but check it out, theridgefarm.com. And thank you so much, Nona, for checking in with us. I know you got a busy day. We really appreciate it.
Okay, well, thanks so much, guys, and have a great day, and thanks for reaching out to me.
Thanks,
okay,
Nona.
Well, good luck. We'll see you later. Bye.
All right, take care.
Well, that she is, you know, a lot of people may not remember, you know, what a big name she is, and her husband for that matter, in the sport. But as soon as you said that she was coming on the show, Jennifer's like, I know exactly who they are. So
she's famous.
Yeah, exactly.
Totally. And well, Jen's such a great rider. I mean, really, she. I hope somebody does invest in a nice horse for her soon, because she's just incredible to watch, and she's a winner. She goes out there and wins. And like I said, she's teeny tiny.
Well, another great rider is the person coming up to do the training tip, and she's actually up our way in Ocala, right?
Oh, well, she's actually down here right now. But, yes, we have the lovely Denise Wilson. We're very appreciative. She took the time out of her day as well. She is a top competitive rider, World Cup qualifiers, international, all of it. She's American. But she is here, and she is going to share our training tip. Are you there, Denise?
I'm here.
Yay! Thanks for joining us. Welcome.
Oh, thank you for having me.
This is great. So we have Denise has a string of horses showing. You'll see her no doubt in the standings. I thought, just for those of you that know Denise or watch Top Sports Show Jumping, any of, you know, the World Cup qualifiers as of late, I thought it would be fun, since we have her on the phone, for her to give us a quick little tidbit about her man Winter, is her horse that she's been jumping all these top classes in. People are very interested in this horse because he popped out of nowhere, I think, into the big ring. So we don't have a ton of time, but you have to tell us quick about your man Winter.
All right. Well, he's, you know, as you said, he kind of popped out of nowhere. You know, he surprised me as well. When we purchased him 2 years ago, we purchased him to pretty much just get me in the bigger national Grand Prix, you know, at the 150 level. And then it just never felt difficult for him. And when I was ready to step up, we kind of said, okay, let's see what we have. And then all of a sudden he was just, he just found an extra gear for me, and it's been able to really fast track me into the international classes.
Which is so fun. You guys have to YouTube Denise Wilson and Winter and see. These guys have such an amazing partnership. It's lots of fun. And, I mean, you're right. He does. He's like, no, I've been here doing it my whole life. He just canters around like, yeah, no big deal. And for those of us, you know, that kind of know, we're like, oh, my gosh. I mean, he really doesn't care. Like, he's all in. You guys are great together. So I love that. And that's the one you've had most of your success on lately, right?
Yes, he's been, you know, such a confidence booster for me, and you know, the rest of my string, I you know, what I do is I like to buy younger, inexperienced horses and bring them up. And so to have an older horse like Winter to teach me, so then I can learn and then teach, you know, the next ones coming up, it's unbelievably valuable. And I think it's something that I needed to have. And like I said, he, you know, he came along at the right time in my life, and he's been an awesome horse, and I hope he, you know, continues to be, you know, such a, you know, dependable, steady, good, you know, competitive horse for me.
Oh, well, he will. You guys have a great partnership. It's very fun to watch. So you guys look it up, because it's current events. Okay, so Denise, you have a training tip or exercise for us. What do you got?
Yeah, well, you know, I you know, when I was trying to come up with something, I realized, you know, my day-to-day routine, I keep quite simple. You know, the top two things I aim for with my horses and I work on every day is fitness and control. But for me, I'm not very tall, so I have to find ways to have control but without interference of the horses. I have to find ways to get them to work on my side. And both that fitness and control comes purely from flat work. And I probably sound like a broken record because I know everybody's trainer has probably said how important flat work is. And it doesn't even need to be anything overly complicated. But if you're going to go out and jump, you know, the actual jump is the easy part. You know, how you get to it and the steps in between is the challenging part. And, you know, that's something that is so easy to practice at home. You know, and I even, you know, took a couple dressage lessons this summer from a dressage trainer in Lexington, and it just really made me appreciate what we ask these horses to do and how much communication you have on course every step. For me, with young horses as well, probably an exercise I do daily is Cavaletti work. You know, they don't have to be any higher than a few inches off the ground. You can start with poles on the ground, but practicing, you know, your adjustability in the canter between them. It sounds very simple, and it sounds like something you'd say, oh, like, you know, that's no problem, that's a piece of cake. But to really push yourself and challenge yourself, say you set a normal 5-stride line, you know, push yourself to do 7 strides, push yourself to do 8 strides, then back to 5. Then back to 6. And that way you not only, you know, try to hone in your eye, but it really helps you work on the adjustability of a canter. And for me, it also shows when I'm not doing my homework enough. Because if I go to adjust for 8 strides in a 5-stride line and the horse breaks to the trot, I know I need to go back and work on collection.
Yeah, for sure. You're so right. And I mean, for you, we're plucking you right out of Top Sport Show Jumping. You're out there competing, you know, 150 classes regularly. So you're saying, well, maybe this is a little bit basic and people look at it that way, but you're so right. And I think that will give a lot of people a lot of encouragement who are maybe even just getting into jumping, because the flat work, it really does come down to that. For sure, flat dressage riders that go to their first jumping rider or jumping lesson, and then jumping riders that go to their first dressage lesson, the dressage riders always do better because they're riding the canter, they're riding the shoulder, all of that. So it's very refreshing actually to hear you say that. I know people say work on flat work, but very few people actually really do it seriously. So tell me, who did you take a lesson with? Who did you get lessons with in Kentucky?
Reese Koffler. She was wonderful. And when I first asked her, you know, for a lesson, I was a bit nervous because I didn't necessarily want to learn dressage. I just wanted to learn how to work my horses more, you know, more properly and give them a full body workout. Because if you do your flat work better, the change in the horse's fitness is unbelievable. And, you know, this year I went from national to FEI classes. So I went, you know, I took that step up into the international level. And, you know, you think 3 inches in a jump height sounds like nothing. But when you get to that level of jumping, you have to have 10 times more of the control. You know, it lessens that margin for error. And that's why, you know, it showed me that I was lacking in sophistication in the small details of the flat work. You know, because if you're sitting in a class and you go in and there is a, you know, 6.5 line and, you know, to a triple combination that you need to do 7, you have got to have that 7 happen the first stride. And you have to, you know, you can't wait to the 5th or 6th stride to make it happen, because when you are dealing with those size jumps, you just don't have room for error.
Well, Denise, you did choose well when you chose a dressage coach. Reese is a good friend of ours and also host of the Dressage Radio Show here on the Horse Radio Network. She works with a lot of eventers, so she's used to dealing with jumpers and really knows what they're looking for out of a dressage lesson too. So you chose well. Good get there.
It shows, Denise, I want to tell you, not a lot of American girls have a nice, good, deep seat, and you really do. And you're not, again, another small girl. You know, she's teeny tiny, but she sits strong and always riding huge horses. I mean, Winter looks huge to me. Is he huge?
He's big, and he a little bit does his own thing. but
he does,
you know, he does his own thing. And, you know, although my main thing is control without interference with him, it's just not interfering. I don't always have the most control, but he and I have a special understanding that I take care of him and he takes care of me.
Oh, no, it is. It's such a partnership, because I don't think he'd be just the easiest for anybody, but you guys have a great thing. So tell people, where can they find you? Where are you? You're online, right? You got a sales business, you're showing. Where can people find you?
BlueGateFarm.com. BlueGate is a family farm. We have a farm in Wisconsin that I do a little bit of breeding, you know, for fun. And you know, it's, you know, my first batch of horses are, you know, turning 5 and 6, and most of them have already been sold and are off doing their thing. But I only breed old mares that I competed on. And then this last summer I was based in Lexington, Kentucky, and I decided to try my hand at Wellington and see how I hold up against the, you know, the toughest competition. I spent time developing my string and myself in Ocala the last 4 years. And that was wonderful. And I just, you know, to be on the international scene, Wellington seems like the place I needed to be this year.
Yeah, for sure. You're ready. You're looking great out there. You're going to have a good season. We're excited to have you here. It was fun. Yeah. Yeah. Cause you're a new face, you know, a little bit in some of these classes, but thank you so much, Denise, for calling in, taking the time out of your busy day. You guys check her out online, BlueGateFarm.com. And, hey, maybe we'll have you on for another topic at a later show.
Sounds great. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Thank you, Denise.
Thanks, Denise. All right. Talk to you soon. Bye.
And we have one final guest before we wrap up the jumping show here today. And it does feel like it's been rapid fire. Yeah, you've had a lot of good guests on. So let's talk to Peter.
Yeah, okay. So we have Peter from our local tack store here in Wellington. I thought this was very appropriate. It's kind of the kickoff of our season down here. I've known Peter for a few years. They've got a great store on Pearson Road, which those of you know the area. It's just right, you know, stone's throw from the horse show. They've been in business for quite a few years there. But what's new is they have a tack trailer, a mobile tack trailer, and this will be their second year now, which is, you know, relatively new at the Wellington Showgrounds in Vendor Row. So we are going to hear about a little backstory and what they got. Are you there, Peter?
Yes, Emily, I'm right here. Good morning.
Yay! Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Do you want to start with any questions or...
I think would be really cool is if you shared, we don't have a ton of time, but you guys have such a unique story. I think everybody would love to hear how you guys got started. It's a family business,
Yes, it is a family business. 2006 is when I opened up the store in Wellington, and we were in a relatively, not in a good spot on Pearson Road. Once we moved to 2009, we realized that we moved to a new location, and we realized that everybody wanted to have something different other than the regular brands they were getting, especially, the kind of competition we get in Wellington. Everybody wants something new, which they usually find it only in Europe. And that's where I started bringing in all the newest and the latest things from Europe, whether it's the apparel, which contains show jackets, show shirts and show breeches, or it's the stirrups, or even if it's just the regular bridal work. There's a lot of innovations going on in Europe, unfortunately, which was never landing in Wellington. And since then on, we have added on two of our 53-foot mobile dressage trailer and the one for jumping. And if somebody is coming to Wellington and they don't have to go to Europe to get the latest merchandise, they can come to our store. We have a store also, the brick-and-mortar store right off Pearson Road, 3,000 square foot of all the latest and the best goodies. And
it's really true. As a shopper, you know, I go into all the tech stores and manufacturer myself.
It's you do have a very unique store to have the storefront and be here. You're local. You've got a very international crowd of shoppers that come and shop with you, and that's the feel when you go in there. You're you know, Peter and Tack and Ryder, they're carrying products that you literally don't get in any of the other stores. So I think that's a lot of the reason for your success is you guys are passionate about new products. You go to the trade shows. It's I feel like you always have new stuff every season.
Well, here's another thing, Emily, which is the most important thing which a lot of people miss, which a lot of my other competitors miss, is that they never talk to the customer. So when you don't talk to the customer, you never know what the customer wants. Even though I'm not a writer myself, I still know what my customer wants, and I make sure that I have it when I go to buy it at the trade shows or anywhere else.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it is.
Customer service is the bane of our business. We make sure that we take care of our customers, we listen to them, and we make sure that whatever they want, they are satisfied.
Yeah, and I mean, you can really tell that in the products because they're all, it's not tons of products. It's manageable when you walk in there. There's a great selection, but it's all really high end, and it's the best of that sort of, you know, kind, that whatever that kind of, if it's a bridal work or if it's a jacket or if it's dressage or jumping or even some horse, some shampoos and hoof dressing, things like that. But it really, it does look like all very hand-selected, very high-end stuff. And, I mean, you've got to be doing great over there at the horse show. Is that good for you to be at Wellington?
Yes. Yes, Emily. Thank God and thanks to our customers, we've been doing very good ever since we opened up our mobile location at the WEF showgrounds and also at the dressage showgrounds, the GDF. Another thing I would like to point out to you guys before, you know, we run out of time is that we do customized show jackets also, customized boots also, and customized helmets also. So we are your the custom shop. If somebody wants to have something customized, you can count on us.
You know, Peter, we were in the tack business for a long time and had a store and also a mobile unit, and through the years have worked with various wholesalers and things as well. And, you know, one of the things that I've seen, and I'm getting back to your customer service thing, is the tack businesses at shows that seem to do really well are the ones that that are as attentive to the lower-level amateur riders as they are to the big-name riders that walk in. And it's, you do see it a lot where, you know, they want to give all the attention to the big name riders, yet the ones that are going to pay the bills aren't the big name riders. They're getting everything for free for the most part. You really want to pay attention to that lower level rider that really is, you're going to be your customer for life.
Exactly. And that's what we concentrate on, the amateurs, and they are the ones who bring in the business. And you have to make sure that it's not just the high end. We keep, you know, different price points and different levels of bridle work, or even if it's the breeches, everything is at different price points so that every customer is satisfied and they don't just, you know, walk out unhappy or not finding what they were looking for.
Yeah, and you offer to multi-disciplines, which I think is rare to have one storefront right there in Wellington that has, I mean, you've got a wonderful dressage line and jumping, and I see even the other day I was in there getting my free jump boots, which I have to say that you guys are like the only people to carry literally free jump boots in this country. I don't know why, because it's such an awesome product and everybody has them in Europe. They're amazing. But I was in there getting them the other day. I saw that you had Tipperary safety vests on the wall.
Yes. Well, here's the thing, Emily. Tipperary safety vests are made in Canada, and this is the most essential product. Whether it's an eventer, it's a hunter jumper, or even if a dressage rider, you need a vest. And unfortunately, in U.S., we do not see a whole lot of jumpers and hunters or dressage riders going for it. But I've seen one thing. We have an international clientele which comes in from South America, and they won't let their kids get on the horse unless they have a safety vest and the helmet.
Wow, I love that. We need more of that.
Yeah.
I saw
yeah.
that. I thought, now that's unique. There's no tack stores that you could go to down here and buy a safety vest.
Yes, we you know, safety is the most important thing, and we make sure that, you know, we have everything. And that's where it takes you, going back to the safety, you can see that you're talking about the free jumps, you skipped one thing. The free jump stirrups are safety stirrups. So those are the safety stirrups, and that's what every kid or even every adult who is riding or getting into riding is a must for everybody to have it.
That's interesting. I didn't realize that. That's why it's open on the top.
Yes, that's the reason. It's a safe so that you can get out of it whenever you need to. You don't get stuck in it. I don't know if you still remember, they still make those stirrups, the safety stirrups with the little rubber band. Do you remember those?
Right, right. Yeah.
That's, they just, you know, technologically, this one is an advanced stirrup. You don't have to open a rubber band to get out of it. If you want, you just slide off the foot and you are out.
Oh, that's nice. I should get a pair. I'm in the market for a new stirrup, but I didn't really understand, you know, that I remember they came out with the ski binding, sort of clip your foot into the boot and it didn't have an outside, but anyways, that's awesome. That's, you guys check that out. Free jump system, right? That's sort of the technical name for it.
Yep.
Then you've got boots and stirrups.
All they need to do is just go on our website, techandrider.com, and just type in free jump, and they will see tons and tons of products, you know, the newest products, whether it's the boots, stirrups, or even a cream to clean the boots. So, I mean, there's tons of things they do.
I saw that. Yeah, that's cool. But it's a good company. It's really growing that free jump. Okay, so we're wrapping it up, but tell us, where can they find you? You're online, you're at the horse show, you're brick and mortar. Tell them where they can get you.
Well, if you are visiting Wellington, you can find us at three locations. You can find us at the Jumper Showgrounds, at the WEF Showgrounds. You can find us in the trailer row, our latest state-of-art 53-foot trailer. You can find us at GDF, which is Global Dressage Festival, and our big red 53-foot trailer. And you can find us at our 3,000-square-foot brick-and-mortar store right off Pearson. Just put Tack and Rider, Google it, and you will get all the directions to get it to us. Plus, you can always find us 24/7 online on techandrider.com, and you can find us on Facebook, on Twitter, and on Instagram. So pretty much anywhere you are,
you can find them.
Yes, it won't be a big effort. All you need to do is just type it in.
That's awesome. Well, thanks so much, Peter, for coming on, sharing your story, talking about the gear. You guys check it out, techandrider.com. And, well, I'll see you over at the show. And good luck this season. Very exciting to see your trailer there.
Thank you, Emily. I appreciate your help.
Cool, cool. All right. See you soon, Peter. Bye.
Well, that's we're going to wrap it up for today. We've had a lot of guests and a lot of fun here on the show. Thank you so much, Emily, for putting this together. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, lots of fun. Thanks to our guests. People are loving to get on the radio and be a part of it. It's super fun.
And I know we don't want to keep you too long today because you have a beach to go to. You know, probably I picture Emily rides two or three horses and then heads to the beach the rest of the day, work on her tan. That's what I picture. Yeah, you know me.
But
she has reindeer
training
too,
Glenn.
Oh yeah, that's right.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Daughter,
you have to be
trying to
get out of the bag.
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. You only have 23 days to get those reindeer tuned up. They need to be tuned up.
Oh, I know. Seriously, got to get in there, see where everybody's at, make sure Rudolph's nose is still red. Priorities.
Well, thank
so
you to
funny.
All our guests and the sponsors. Of course, Ask Equestrian is the title sponsor of the show, and you can find Ask Equestrian where?
AskEquestrian.com. Check us out.
And there's lots of good stuff on there for the holidays as well. You can buy direct on there too, right, Emily?
You can. You can buy direct there, or we've got a country full of lovely vendors at pretty much all the major show circuits. We're very fortunate. We have representation this year. So online or at your local horse show.
Very good. And of course, we'll be back here tomorrow morning with another show, 9 a.m. Eastern. Jamie will be here, and it is the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge. We'll see who joins us tomorrow morning. Should be a lot of fun. And then Thursday is Road to the Horse Day. Tammy will be back and doing Road to, I think it's Road to the Horse Day. Yes, it's Road to the Horse Day on Thursday. Tammy will be here. She's the only tall co-host, apparently, that I have. And she'll be here doing the show with us, and we look forward to that as well. I know there's always exciting news coming out of Road to the Horse every single month. That's it for today. To catch all the past episodes of Emily's show, The Jumper Show, just go to horsesinthemorning.com. The best way to listen to Horses in the Morning in the recorded version is to do it on our app. Just go to the Horse Radio Network app in the App Store, iOS or Android, and download it. It's free and it's easy to use. All 8 of our shows are on the app, and as I said, it's just the easiest way to do it. You can stream it. You can download it to your phone. And that's how most of our people listen now. And you can also find us on iTunes and many other places around the Internet. That's it for today. Thank you so much, Emily.
Cool. Thanks, guys. See you soon.
See ya.